The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Brian Fancher of KLMJ in Hampton and Ty Rushing with the Northwest Iowa Review. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, thanks a lot. Kind of a two-part question. First of all, how are you feeling? And after you've been through your situation with COVID-19, are there any lessons that you've learned about it?
Well, I'm sure that if I'd had more symptoms than what I had, I would have learned a lot. But I was fortunate enough that I didn't have symptoms, and you know what those are, so I won't go into a long list of the symptoms. I was probably a little fatigued, sleeping 9 hours instead of just 7 hours like I normally would. I was quarantined at my home here in Northern Virginia. Barbara was in Iowa, as she has been since July. Kind of a boring life, to tell you the truth. I always thought it could get worse, so I made a point of doing my usual morning jog of 2 miles every day for 13 days in a row, just to check my breathing and my lungs and everything. And I never had any problems with any of that. So if there's a lesson to learn, this is the lesson I learned. You can take all the precautions of washing your hands and disinfecting and wearing a mask and 6 feet from other people, but you can still get it. And who would have thought that that would be the case? Let's go to Ty.
Okay, Senator, do you have any updates about the COVID vaccine rollout?
Not as definitive as you'd like to have me have, because I'm not at the negotiating table in this particular instance. But it seems to be getting more bipartisan attention, and I don't know whether we'll end up with something or not, but after 4 or 5 months of Pelosi demanding starting out at $3.5 trillion, coming down to $2.2 trillion, and willing to consider $908 billion, if they're sincere about it, that's making progress. I have not seen any of the details in it, but I can speak in a very general way that and I think it starts out with the premise out of a multitude of different items, and I don't know whether that would be 50 or 150 or how many, but within that package of 50 or 150 or 250, there's lots of things that already have bipartisan agreement. And so this is based on the proposition we ought to move ahead on what we already have bipartisan agreement on. And then what we don't have bipartisan agreement on shouldn't hold up helping people that need help. And maybe 3 or 4 categories that I can say where there's bipartisan support. Probably $100 billion for K through 12 schools, because they got to spend a lot of money to protect the kids and the teachers. Let's say $150 billion, or maybe even a little bit more than that. I think it was $160 billion to help small business, like restaurants. Like same way we help small business in the bill we passed in March. Now, that's that deadline is passed. That would renew that deadline. More money for testing. More money for getting the vaccines spread around the country now that they're being approved by the FDA. So I just mentioned 4, that it's a no-brainer. We ought to get that done, and we shouldn't let it stall just because we can't agree on how much money a fiscally irresponsible state like Illinois ought to get from the federal government compared to Iowa that's very fiscally responsible and doesn't need any more money from the federal government. Brian?
Senator, I want to ask you, too, about the transition with President-elect Biden coming in. Your thoughts as we talk today, I know you recently mentioned about you'd like to possibly see somebody like a Tom Vilsack come back as the Ag Secretary. Any thoughts?
Well, the answer to that is very definitely yes, because I was satisfied with the way he was Secretary of Agriculture the 8 years he was there under Obama. And in fact, there may be even information that you aren't aware of. There was a Washington, D.C. newspaper that said he's very prominently being mentioned for it, where maybe a week ago it wasn't quite that prominent. He probably would have appeared in a footnote last week. And it seems to me that it's risen. So I would like to have him be the next Secretary of Agriculture. Two reasons. One, he understands the role of the family farmer and the importance of that institution in the production of food. And he's very aware of the importance of biofuels to the health of agriculture. Ty?
Senator, I saw something this weekend about only 25 members of the Republican Party at the federal level acknowledging that Biden has won the election. I guess, do you have any thoughts on that, or have you conceded that he's won?
Well, you know, I don't get this question every day, but I get it several times a week. And I think that people think that we just regularly call up presidents that are elected, compliment them for being elected president. And I've served under, let's see, Carter, well, starting out Ford, but he was appointed, for Carter, Reagan, H.W. Bush, Clinton, W. Bush, Obama, and now Trump, and now Biden's going to be the new president. I've never congratulated any of them. So I don't know where people are getting the idea that I ought to have an opinion on Biden being president, or why I haven't complimented him for being president, because I just don't do that. Brian?
Senator, as we head towards the new year, your thoughts about the ag sector right now in general, any concerns you may have in the new year?
They would deal with how aggressive a Biden presidency will pursue trade. I believe that he's going to pursue probably a good agenda, but I don't know if this is really a report that's accurate or not, but it said he wasn't going to pursue trade agreements till he got the economy of the United States turned around. In other words, the post-pre-demic economy. And he's got to realize that trade has a great deal with turning around the economy. So that worries me a little bit. The other thing is, with at least the price of corn, soybeans, wheat, maybe other grains, it's better now than it's been for 5 or 6 years. So that's good news. And then if I had something on the negative side in regard to the new presidency, it would be fear that maybe waters of the U.S. rule would come back. And if you remember, Iowa Farm Bureau Federation map or study that showed that waters of the U.S. would have had the federal government regulating 97% of land in Iowa. So this President Trump comes along and does away with it. And there's some talk that this president may bring it back. We don't need that kind of red tape regulation coming out of Washington, D.C., interfering with the industry of the family farm. Ty?
Okay. Senator, do you know more about the COVID vaccine rollout? I saw you tweeted about that the other day.
Well, I tweeted that Iowa was going to get, I don't know how much, but great. No, I think I do remember 172,000 vaccines that they're going to do, and it's being led by Governor Reynolds and the Iowa Department of Public Health, and I assume that we're getting it kind of on a proportionate basis. And I would say that on December the 12th, I'm assuming on December the 10th or 11th, FDA is going to say it's safe, then goes out immediately. And I would imagine it's possible Iowa could have some in supply already. And it's going to start out to Iowans with the most vulnerable. That would be healthcare centers, nursing homes, I guess I'd say, and elderly. I don't know to what extent she's doing it to doctors and nurses, because in a lot of states, doctors and nurses are first. So I think it's doctors and nurses, other healthcare people, and then after that, the most vulnerable, which would start with the elderly. Ryan?
Yeah, Senator, I was going to ask you, too, about you mentioned about ethanol and the situation with big oil and everything. With Biden coming into the White House, do you think ethanol will be okay?
Well, we're going to have that conversation with whoever he nominates for EPA director. But we heard three names crop up. One of them, I don't know whether I can remember the name, but one of them has a 10-year history of being very anti-ethanol. I don't think that Biden is stupid enough to put somebody like that in that position, but I just don't know. The one thing, and at kind of a higher level than just EPA director, that bothers me is that environmentalists are going to have more sway with this president than they obviously had with Trump, and the extent to which, contrary to 10 and 20 years ago, when environmentalists were very pro-biofuels, they tend to be against it. And with that loud voice in this administration, I think that 28 senators representing 14 corn-producing states better be on top of this administration day in and day out. Ty, and you're the last question.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts about Iowa wrestling with Dan Gable getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom today?
Yes, quite an honor. And I was at the, Joni Ernst and I was at the White House ceremony. It was beautiful. He had wife, four daughters, four sons-in-law, 13 grandchildren, and it seemed to me like a bigger crowd than that, but I was told that there was going to be 23 with his family, and it's an honor he truly deserves, not only because he was an outstanding wrestler himself, only losing one in as a college wrestler, but also winning so many team NCAA championships. At one time it was 14 out of 16, and I don't think he was done wrestling, so it was more than that, probably later on. But he deserves this honor, and I'm sure glad he got it, and I'm glad I was able to be there. Okay, thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Brian and Ty, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.